Let's get to our guest, Henrietta Treyes, who's Director of Economic Policy at Veda Partners. Henrietta, I'm not in the camp of gushing journalists over Andrew Bailey's comments about recession for more than a year. One, it hurts your currency, and that makes inflation even worse. And it seems like it's a little grandstanding, guessing that far in the future. That said, it was a very strong message, and one that even the U.S. market could not ignore. Your thoughts?
I think predicting a recession for that long, I think, is going to come with any number of opportunities to blow back. The question, I think, though, is really, how deep is it going to be? Is it going to be enough to derail the other underlying progress? There's been a lot of federal action in terms of propping up domestic manufacturing of key sectors that caused a lot of supply chains that drove inflation and the recessionary environment in the first place. So I think there's been a lot done to blunt the future forward-looking estimates for the economy that probably have not been factored into that analysis.
Henrietta, aren't remarks like that actually, ultimately, irresponsible, given that what it could do is actually make people think there's a recession which is going to be long and deep, and actually becomes a self-fulfilling prediction?
Absolutely. It's such a great point, and one that I think you can see resonate across so many different components of the economy. In part, you have the perfect analogy, which would be the unemployment data. You know, the average American voter thinks unemployment is well above 6%, which is about as far off as you can get. There are 15% of the population believes the unemployment rate is above 11%. So it's this idea of almost that self-fulfilling prophecy, as you mentioned, where people start to think the economy is bad. They hear the word inflation and they just believe that inflation is true. Then you look at the trending declines, 51 straight days of gas prices coming down. I know you see it when you drive. I certainly do. It's not real. It certainly creates a problem.
Yeah, we saw Twitter pictures of $3, on the on the advertising, posters at gas stations. Listen, of the many combinations for growth and inflation, you know, both rising or both falling or one up and one down, the sweet spot for the equity market would be inflation falling. You just highlighted that, while growth hangs in there. We're seeing a glimpse of that now. Can it continue?
I think it can continue. I think that's the trajectory that we're on. Obviously, the jobs data will be closely watched tomorrow. And, you know, it's one of those mixed things. I keep remembering something I heard sort of towards the middle of COVID on your program where someone said, you know, we knew we would come out of COVID. We knew we'd get out of it, but nobody ever said it was going to be cheap. And that's sort of what we're looking at here. You got a lot of mixed data, a lot of funky quarters, and the job numbers coupled with inflation. The consumer is so robust.
Henrietta, I want to get a sense of inflation. And, you know, we have this debate about it being supply side or demand side, but has it become structural? And I'll give you three reasons why some would believe so. We've got deglobalization, a rejigging of supply chains. That's something which is inflationary. We've got greenflation as well. On top of that, we've got a shrinking working age population struggling to meet the demands coming from an aging population, also piling upward pressure on prices. So is inflation here for good?
I mean, I would just add one more to that, and that's the group of people that have gone out of the workforce during COVID and are probably not going to re-enter. That's another portion that I think gets talked about not quite enough. As we're still seeing that fallout. The inflation argument, though, is definitely something, as we've seen right now, you will probably have, and based off my conversations with a lot of investors, you have this ideological deadline that I've noticed in speaking with clients of around the fall, around the November elections, where they think all this will sort of come to a head and start to slow down as either the nation or the conversation switches to new topics. And I have to say, if you're seeing, you know, lumber prices come down and gas prices come down, that is going to eventually at least fade out the conversation. And the way you would think about this from sort of a political angle is that talking about inflation in such dramatic terms for the first half of this year created this expectation that it was rampant and out of control. And as we pointed out earlier, you know, the economy's in this deep recession, the economy's doing poorly, the direction of the country is going wrong. But yep. a lot of that stuff has peaked and is now starting to come back down to earth. And that's going to create its own new narrative. And I think counter that structural inflation argument that it's here to stay in perpetuity. We're seeing it come down so holistically in such yeah. core places like lumber and gas, but I don't think it's sustainable.
And the talk continues. The Fed, in fact, the Fed speakers have tried to walk back Chair Powell's perceived dovishness at the last meeting when he said we were close to neutral. I think he just kind of misspoke. But anyway, has this Fed speak worked?
I mean, the Fed speak, people are just frustrated, I think, and they're finding a lot of ways to vent their frustration at the Fed. You know, case in point would be a couple weeks back when they started leaking data before they decided on their 75 bips hike. You know, that kind of a thing is, I think, really frustrated investors. And so there's a lot of angst there. I think it's no surprise that we're about to see some material turnover amongst, you know, the top economists in the United States, at least, whether that's Secretary Yellen or other people in leadership and the cabinet secretaries in the Biden administration. There's about to be a sea change, which you would expect at the end of the second year of a first term anyway. But I think there's just a lot of attention on that and frustration, as you see in that directional sentiment. How is the state of the economy doing? Poorly to most people. Just that's their visceral reaction. But I think the data suggests otherwise. And that will ultimately bear out to be, I think, the bigger role here, the actual facts on the ground, as opposed to just the way we feel.
Henrietta, you know, you've served and helped the administrations of various administrations and, you know, looked at, you know, what happened in 2008. Do you think politicians get it?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I would say this. In my experience, politicians do not respond to one-off numbers. So the Fed rate hike decisions on a one-off basis or inflation numbers on a monthly basis. It's not that one hit. It's the trend line that they usually focus on. So, for instance, as soon as we got the July numbers, we immediately started looking ahead to the August 10th numbers on inflation. Everybody's looking for a trend, and that's usually what politicians respond to. Quarter over quarter, month over month, they want to see a couple in a row, and they tend to dismiss the one-off outliers, unless it meets their political talking points,
Henrietta,
in which case they'll talk about it.
Henrietta, very diplomatically put, whether they get it or not, but thank you so much for joining us today. That's Henrietta Traes there from Veda Partners. This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.